Exodus chapter 15. We're going to read the song in Exodus 15 and then turn to Revelation chapter 15. Exodus 15. We'll read the first 18 verses. Please take heed to God's word. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and the rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will extol him. The Lord is a warrior, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea, and the choicest of his officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deeps cover them, they went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. And in the greatness of your excellence, you overthrow those who rise up against you. You set forth your burning anger, and it consumes them as chaff. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters were piled up. The flowing waters stood up like a heap. The deeps were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be gratified against them. I will draw out my sword, my hand will destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. In your loving kindness you have led the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength you have guided them to your holy habitation. The peoples have heard, they tremble, anguish has gripped the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom were dismayed. The leaders of Moab trembled. Trembling grips them. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them. By the greatness of your arm, they are motionless as a stone. Until your people pass over, O Lord, until the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. And then if you turn, please, to Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15, and I'll read verses 2, 3, and 4, and you'll notice that the Apostle John speaks of the song of Moses, which we read in Exodus 15, and connects the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb as one song, and we have the rehearsal of this one song in verses 3 and 4. Revelation chapter 15, verses 2, 3, and 4. And I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you as we take a short time to look into it, that we might learn from it, and we might learn, Father, to be more efficient, active, and productive in our praise. We pray that this would be the case. We ask this in the good name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen. We are revisiting Revelation chapter 15 and the song which the Apostle John records in that section of Scripture. And for some of you who were here the last time we looked at this, it was some time ago, we're going to do something a little bit different this time, but we're continuing on with the argument that responds to a popular theologian residing in our area who says something like this in a paper which circulated our seminary. The Psalms, or exclusive psalmody, is not only not required, but it is positively sinful. This was his statement, and he stands by that statement. And I want to take a little bit further the argument in responding to this statement as we look at Revelation chapter 15. In the previous message, we found that the song in Revelation chapter 15 is in the form of a psalm, interestingly enough, and so it points us back to the Psalter. It has the basic message of the Old Testament and of the Psalter that Christ is King, and from this perspective it also points back to the Psalter. And we also saw that this song in Revelation chapter 15 quotes from the Psalter, and so it points back once again to the Old Testament Psalms. And so we ought to sing the Psalms. Now, that was my rationale in the previous message. And as I say, I'm continuing this argument, and I want to point out to you this morning that there is a connection between the song in Exodus 15 and the song in Revelation 15, because they have the same themes, and the one is a foreshadowing of the other. The song in Revelation 15 foreshadows the song in Exodus 15 foreshadows the song in Revelation 15, and therefore the song in Revelation 15 is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. And in addition, this song in Revelation 15 is a new song, and so we have to talk about this. It has gospel light shed upon it, and when we have that gospel light, these old songs do indeed become our new songs, your new song. And so I submit to you that you ought to sing the Psalms, because with this gospel light, these old songs become your new song. And that's the direction we are going this morning. So I hope you'll be able to follow me as we look at this text this morning, these two texts, actually. And as we get started, let's turn back again to the song in Exodus chapter 15. Because what I want you to see is that there are certain themes in this song in Exodus 15 that help us move to the New Testament. Namely, first of all, that the song in Exodus 15 is a song of enemies destroyed. Look at Exodus chapter 15, if you will, with me. Look, for example, at the very beginning of the song. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and the rider he has hurled into the sea. And then look with me at verse 4 in Exodus 15. Pharaoh's chariots, his army, he has cast into the sea. The choicest of his officers are drowned in the sea. And then if you glance down to verse 7, and the greatness of your excellence In the greatness of your excellence, you overthrow those who rise up against you. You send forth your burning anger. It consumes them as chaff. And then, as you look further in verse 12, you stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. This is a song of the defeat of God's enemies. And it is a song, we find, that evokes terror and fear into the nations. Look at verses 14 and following. The people have heard, they tremble. Yes, the people hear about God's redemption and bringing Egypt, or bringing Israel out of Egypt, and they tremble. Anguish has gripped the inhabitants of Philistia, that nation which is far off as far as the Israelites are concerned, and an enemy they will later meet. But Philistia trembles at hearing the word of God's redemption. Then the chiefs of Edom were dismayed, the leaders of Moab, trembling grips them. And you remember the story from Numbers, how that Balak, the king of Moab, called Balaam, the prophet, to prophesy against Israel because of their great number and of the fear that Moab had because of God's actions bringing Israel out of Egypt. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them. Yes, and so it was. You remember when the spies went up to Jericho and met Rahab, and Rahab gave them the information, yes, that the people of Jericho and of the surrounding area were trembling in fear because of the prospect of Israel coming across the Jordan River. Because of what God had done with them in bringing them out of captivity. So this is a song that relates the fear of God's enemies. And this is a song which also relates the kingship of Christ. Look again earlier in the song. Look at verse 6, for example. Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemies. And who is the Lord? It is God who is the Lord. And in the New Testament, it is the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is your confession, that He is indeed God incarnate, the Lord God omnipotent, Jesus, your Redeemer. And at the very end of this song, look at the great words given. The Lord shall reign forever. He is the great God of all. Jesus Christ is Lord. And so this is a song of the kingship of Christ. And this is a song that also prophesies the future good of God's people. Look, for example, at verse 13 in this song. In your loving kindness you have led the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength you have guided them to your holy habitation. Yes, Lord, you have redeemed your people. You brought them out of Egypt, out of bondage. But what are you doing? You are leading them into your holy habitation, into the land you have chosen. And so the prospect of redemption leads to the occupation of rest in the promised land. And then look at verses 17 and following in Exodus 15. You will bring them and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance. Yes, Lord, you will not only bring them out of Egypt, but bring them into the promised land, a place of rest, and to Zion, the very mountain you designated as the place in which your sanctuary will be built and in which you will be pleased to dwell. Look at how verse 17 moves. You will bring them and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The song speaks of the future sanctuary under David and under Solomon as that which has already been built. An amazing prospect in this ancient song. And so this song speaks of enemies destroyed and terrified, and of Christ as King, and of victories to come. It is a wonderful and great song of redemption. Now turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 15. Helpful that we have these two 15s here. And look at the song once again. Verse 3, and they sang the song of Moses. You see, we just looked at the song of Moses. Now we are looking at a vision that opens the heavens to us. And what are they singing in the precincts of heaven, the saints of God? They are singing none other than the song of Moses, the song of redemption, the song of victory over God's enemies, the song of the kingship of Christ and of eschatological victory, victories that are to come. And this song, I submit to you, has themes that are similar to the songs, to the song of Moses. Let's think about it now. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. And what were the great preeminent works of God? But the calling of the people out of Egypt and the destruction of the Egyptians, the enemies of God. And that idea is transported into the New Testament by the Apostle Paul telling us that the Passover brought about in Egypt and the destruction of God's enemies is fulfilled in Christ. He is our Passover, your Passover. And the great and wonderful works shown forth in the Old Testament find their fulfillment in Jesus Christ and the gospel, the destruction of God's enemies in this light. And what else do we see in this song in Revelation 15? Oh yes, interestingly enough, a note of fear. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? Yes, the time will come that the enemies of God will tremble before His presence, and they will be constrained to do so. And this is also, is it not, a song of the kingship of Christ. Look at it again. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. And who is it, friends, that is King of the nations? None other than Jesus Christ, the Lord, who sits now at the right hand of the Majesty on high and rules as King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the King of the nations. And so this song in Revelation chapter 15 is a song relating the kingship of Christ. And it is also a song that looks forward from our perspective to the future and to the outworkings of the gospel. Look again at verse 4. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, and all the nations will come and worship before you. This is it not, an outworking of the gospel of Jesus Christ, where that gospel according to our Lord was to be spread from Jerusalem and Judea into Samaria, into all the nations of the earth. And so it is in our day that we are seeing fulfilled this gospel, which is being spread by His grace into all the nations of the world. So this song in Revelation 15, as the song in Exodus 15, looks ahead to the time when all the nations will come and worship the Lord. And so you see, my friends, that Exodus 15 and Revelation 15 have similar themes. They are one song. And as you look at the beginning of verse 3, what do you see? They sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, and how many songs are recorded for you in Revelation chapter 15? But one song? One song? You see? This is the great song of God's redemption. And I would submit to you further, having alluded to it already, that the song of Moses is not only a prophetic song, but it is a foreshadowing of that which we experience now and that which we will experience in heaven. Please turn back, if you would, to Exodus chapter 15 and think this through with me as we look at verse 13, first of all, in Exodus 15. In your loving kindness, you have led the people whom you have redeemed. God, in His grace and mercy, led the people out of Egypt. And Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, is leading you and me in this day. Verse 13 again in Exodus 15. In your strength you have guided them to your holy habitation. Yes, you have taken them out of Egypt. You have destroyed the enemy, and you are in the process of taking them into that land of Canaan, which you promised them, and you have promised to give them rest. This is your holy habitation, the song says. And when the people come into the promised land and find rest, what is that promised land to them and to each of us? It is a foreshadowing, is it not, of the great rest that you have in heaven. As the writer to the Hebrews says to you and to me, if Joshua had given them rest, He would not have spoken of a subsequent rest. And the writer to the Hebrews tells us then, there does remain for the likes of you and me a Sabbath rest. And that Sabbath rest is the rest to come in heaven. And so Exodus 15 is pointing the people of God and pointing you and me to the rest of heaven. And then look again at verse 17 in Exodus chapter 15. You will bring them and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance. And we have already said that this is Mount Zion, the place where God has chosen to dwell. And what does this portray for us? But, once again, the great resting place of heaven. Because you have not come to a mountain like this, but you have come, as the writer to the Hebrews says, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the Zion which is above. And so there is a foreshadowing of the future and the great eschaton, the coming of the Lord in Exodus chapter 15. And then the place, O Lord, which you have made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established, the sanctuary in the Old Testament built upon that mountain in Jerusalem was the dwelling place of God. And the Apostle Paul tells you and me quite explicitly in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 16, we are the temple of the living God. It is you and me, friends, who become in the New Testament the dwelling place of God. And that Old Testament temple was a foreshadowing not only then of the church in the New Testament, but of that which we would experience, you will experience in heaven, the great dwelling place of God into which we will have the privilege of being taken. Isn't it interesting now? Well, maybe it's just interesting to folks like me. But I would submit to you it ought to be interesting that here is this song of redemption in Exodus 15 and this song of redemption in Revelation 15 having the same themes, and the former song is fulfilled in the latter song, and the former song and the latter song taken together are bookends on the Bible, I would submit to you. Bookends that close the Bible in this song of redemption in a marvelous way. In Exodus 15, you have this song of redemption particularized in Israel. And what do you have in Revelation chapter 15? You have the song of redemption particularized in the church of Jesus Christ. That's you and me. We are caught up in that song. I wonder if you catch the dynamic here of redemption and how we as a people are being caught up in that process of redemption. You do love Jesus Christ, do you not? You do confess Him as Lord, do you not? And therefore, you are caught up in this redemption, I would submit to you, and you are caught up in this song of redemption, this one song, as Revelation chapter 15 puts it. Let's turn back there once again. Yes, it's a little bit of a sword drill. Revelation chapter 15. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, you see the bookends there, brought together in this one song? It's not two different songs, it's one song. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all the nations will come and worship before you. And certainly this is the case as the gospel is spread and the likes of you and me trust in Jesus Christ and believe the gospel, and we sing this song of redemption. Now, interestingly enough, as we look at this song in the book of Revelation, this song in Revelation 15, I would submit to you, is a new song. A new song. To help you get this, I'd like you to look at Revelation 14, and then we'll go back to Revelation 15. Revelation 14, 2 and 3. I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters, like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. Here in Revelation 14, we have the 144,000 who represent all the saints purchased by God. It's a representative figure. And what are they singing? They're singing, friends, a new song. And in Revelation 15, lo and behold, what do we have? Look at Revelation 15 again, verse 2. And I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God. Who are singing in Revelation chapter 15? The saints of God. Those who are victorious. That's who is singing. And then we are given the title to the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, which is one song. And then they proceed to sing it. And so this song in Revelation chapter 15 is a new song. And I submit to you, friends, if you want to sing a new song to the Lord, you can sing a song like this, like this. And what makes it a new song? It's gospel light that makes it a new song. You see, it's principally the old song, because the themes are the same. But it's gospel light given in the heart, enabling the individual, you and me, to sing this song in a new light that makes it a new song. To help you understand this, turn back in your Bibles. Keep your finger there in Revelation 15. Turn back in your Bibles to 1 John, the little book of 1 John. Turn back to 1 John chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8. 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. When John gives to the church, quote, the new commandment, what is this new commandment? Is it different in substance? No, actually, it's an old commandment, correct? It's an old commandment, but it's now given in a fresh light. Look at verse 8. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. In the light of the gospel, the commandments of God take on a different light, do they not? Because they are written not on stone tablets, but in the heart. And we can observe them from the heart, not simply as acts of obedience outwardly. And so it is with the new song. How do these old songs become to you and to me new songs? They become new songs with gospel light shining in your heart. And as this is the case, you understand them and can sing them from the heart as having to do with none other than Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Look at Revelation 15 once again. Verse 3. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. About whom does this song raise peons of praise. Jesus Christ, great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Is this not a song about your Lord, Jesus Christ? Yes, I think it is. And it is called, by divine inspiration, the Song of the Lamb. But notice something else in addition about this song, which I think is rather astonishing. It does not use the name Jesus. It does not utilize the title Christ. It does not use the word cross. It does not utilize the word blood. And this is one of the chief criticisms leveled against those of us who sing the songs. And I remember very well a student in the Doctor of Ministries class saying to me, "I wish you'd give us an explanation of why you sing the Psalms. I want to sing about Jesus." And the point was, I want to use the name Jesus. I want to use the word cross. I want to use the word blood. But you see, interestingly enough, this song, friends, does not use that kind of language. Oh, if you understand the redemption of God through Jesus Christ, you understand that the great works of God and the great salvation that God has wrought comes to you through the work of Jesus Christ, who is the King of the nations. And you can sing of Him who lived a perfect life, died on that cross, rose again and ascended on high and sits at the right hand of God the Father. And you will understand that when you sing of the King of the nations, that you are singing about all of these things and embracing all of these things, you see. And it's a wonderful prospect for us to understand that this is the case. This new song, interestingly enough, therefore uses old language, and it becomes a new song to you and to me when gospel light shines upon it and the darkness is drawn away. And then finally, I submit to you that as you look at this new song in the book of Revelation, we find that Revelation 15 and Exodus 15 are not only bookends, as it were, on the Bible, giving us the song of redemption, but these two songs, which are essentially one song, intersect in the middle of the Bible, in the Psalter. Look again at our song in Revelation 15, verse 4. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? O Lord, and glorify your name. A quotation, friends, from Psalm 86, verse 9. And then the following words, all the nations will come and worship before you. Again, a quotation from Psalm 86 and verse 9. Now let me tell you, Why, this is so startling. There are a multitude of allusions to the Old Testament in the book of Revelation. A multitude of allusions. But this is probably the only quotation of the Old Testament in the book of Revelation. The only quotation, not simply an allusion, but the only quotation of the Old Testament in the book of Revelation. And from what book does it come? The Psalms. The Psalms. Which highlights for you and me the Psalter. Turn back to Psalm 86 just for a moment. Psalm 86. Psalm 86 is a song of salvation and redemption. Let's just read a few verses in the middle of the psalm. Psalm 86. Hear David in verse 6. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and give heed to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble I shall call upon you, for you will answer me. There is no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. No, you are the one who wrought a great salvation and brought your people by an outstretched arm and a mighty hand out of Egypt. Nor are there any works like yours. All the nations whom you have made shall come before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name. Do you see those words there in verse 9? Taken up by John in the song in Revelation. I think this is a powerful message, friends, that the old song of Exodus and the new song of Revelation, being one song in essence, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, quotes from the Psalter, and the intersection of these two songs, as it were, is in the Psalter, in the Psalms. And so, what do I say to you, therefore? Sing the Psalms. Sing the Psalms. They are songs of redemption. They are songs of the kingship of Christ. They are songs, friends, that speak of the destruction of God's enemies. They are songs that point you ahead to the coming of Christ and that which you will experience when Christ comes a second time in glory. Sing the Psalms, because with gospel light, what do you have? What do you have? New songs. See, this is what you have. New songs. And so you may take up the language, you see, the language, as we have already said, the language of the Bible, the language of the songs of the Bible, the language, the old language of the songs of the Psalms. And with the fresh light of Jesus Christ shining in your heart, you may sing, I love the Lord. I love the Lord because He heard my supplicating plea. You can sing with the fresh gospel light of Christ. The Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You can sing with fresh gospel light and follow the injunction of Psalm 96. Sing a new song, you see. And you can lift your hearts in praise to Jesus Christ, because the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb are one song that intersects in the Psalter. Sing the Psalms, friends. Sing the Psalms. Because with gospel light, they are your new song. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that you give us from this your word. We have discussed some more complicated issues, Father, this morning. I pray that you will bring what we've spoken about home to our hearts, that it might not simply be an intellectual idea we are discussing, but it might be a reality in our hearts to sing to you, our Lord and our Savior. And we thank you, Father, that as this is the case, you are pleased to bless us and strengthen us. And so give us your grace, and as we sing the Psalms, help us to understand that these Psalms, using old language by gospel light, are indeed our new song, the song of redemption, the song of the kingship of Christ. Now please bless us to that end, we pray, and give us your grace in understanding, and not only in understanding, but in experience as we do sing. Hear us, we ask, in the good name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen.